Next week is Wisconsin Women in Sustainable and Organic Agriculture Week. And we're talking about what it's like to be a woman in agriculture with our two guests today. Larry Mueller here joining me in the studio today. Lisa Kivrist and Lauren Ruttersford. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Ruttersdorf, actually.
Ruttersdorf. Why did I knew that. I went over that before the show. I said it aloud a few times.
It's so a lot of letters. It's a hard one.
Ruttersdorf. Sorry, Lauren. And welcome, by the way. Thanks so much. And Lisa, good to see you again, too. Lisa's been with us before to talk about Soil Sisters Weekend. She leads the Women Farmer Training Program for the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Services, which we call MOSES all the time. And she writes for a number of publications, including Mother Earth News. Let's see, where else does she write with? Where else do you write?
Publication-wise, Edible Madison and Grit Hobby Farms, all those good ag publications and food.
And Lauren Ruttersdorf. Did I get it right
you
that
got
time?
You got it. All right.
Yep. I got it right that time. Well, I should also say that Lisa has a farm and a B&B and Lord knows what else.
We do a bunch of things in Serendipity outside Monroe. Right. We're all about the renewable energy there, too. Completely powered by the wind and sun. And recently a Tesla charging station. So drive your Tesla over, Larry.
Yeah, I wish. Don't I wish? Well, Lauren operates Raleigh's Hillside Farm outside of Evansville, Wisconsin, with her husband, Kyle. And she shares stories and recipes on her blog. Her blog is The Leek and the Carrot. And she writes for Edible Madison and Madison Magazine. So we're going to talk with them about what life is like today as a woman in farming, and we'll get some pointers on how to write and blog about food. We can talk about that too, and certainly we're going to talk about the conference that's coming up as well that I know you're going to want to hear about. The conversation is yours too. You can call in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Well, farming isn't it is not. I came from a family farm, so I know it's not easy work. How did you get drawn into it? And I think Lauren, I'll turn to you first.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm south of Evansville where we farm currently. So I was a farm kid, grew up with that way of life that is definitely can be a challenge at times. Went away to school, thought I wanted to get away from Wisconsin, wanted to get away from farming, and then kind of fell in love with it all. Really fell in love with food first. When I learned how to cook, when I'm in my young 20s, learned how to cook for myself, I just fell in love with food and found myself asking my parents if I could borrow a couple acres, which was a surprise to me as much as it was to them. And my husband and I just kind of started small with a CSA. We do CSA vegetables. I just kind of fell in love with that way of life. And even when you have to work outside in the 90 degrees, high humidity, it's still just this beautiful thing to work with the land. And it's really, really beautiful for me to work on land that's been in my family for so long.
Well, yeah. So you've got We've got four acres.
We farm only on about two right now. We have, drive rows, and we're close to two tree lines, so we stay back from those. But we leave some pollinator crops in there, so we have a lot of happy honeybees flying around.
And it's a CSA? And
yeah.
You sell at farmers markets as well?
We did a farmers market our first year. We haven't since. CSA is really our bread and butter. We really love the CSA. We do 120 members, delivered every week on Wednesday, and then we deliver to some restaurants around the area, too, so some Stoughton, New Glarus, Madison. We sell to the Good Food Cart, and she just opened a new restaurant. She's wonderfully supportive of us. Cowan Quince and New Glarus, they're part of the Soil Sisters Weekend, also buy a lot from us. Yeah, so kind of a balance of those things.
And Lisa, you don't have exactly the same sort of background, but you're kind of in the same place in many, many ways.
There's lots of roads that lead to the rural back roads, right. Oh, my story is the urban transplant drove north one day about 20 years ago now, when I was in my 20s, doing what my mom still calls the normal phase of my life in a job in Chicago with a cubicle and a paycheck. My now husband, John, and I, just early on, something wasn't right. Something wasn't clicking with that lifestyle. And we, like a lot of Chicagoans, would just drive north for the weekend and get across the border in Wisconsin, hike, camp, bike, all that stuff. And something really clicked for us being in a rural setting, being in Wisconsin, and started rethinking that equation of could we live and work here? And so our story's always been different in that our goal has always been to generate our income from the farm, but not necessarily all through farming, because when we moved, we hadn't planted a seed yet, which I don't necessarily recommend that strategy, but you know, it gets you going. And that's always kept us diversified. So the writing, the bed and breakfast, the educational outreach, the renewable energy. So a lot of different hats on the farm, but still very much like Lauren, recreating farm living here in Wisconsin for a new generation.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I think about all the different things you both are doing, and I think, how the heck do you keep all those balls up in the air that you're juggling around? I mean, you got to be very well organized.
Well, you're asking at the peak of summer abundance, so yeah. But that said, you know, 6 months from now, a couple months from now, things will slow down. That was a big, wonderful change for me is embracing that seasonality of living. So right now it's crazy wonderful and it will slow down. And especially for women like Lauren and I who also have this creative side that fits well with a lot of the dormant winter months. And if we're working ahead of deadlines, right, Lauren, that's when you can pump some things out or get those books written. But it's a balance in the long run.
And Jill, do we have everybody's blog info? Oh, we don't have that information up. We'll get that information up and put it up on Facebook so we've got your blog. What's your blog again?
The Leek and the Carrot.
The Leek and the Carrot. And I haven't been, you know, I'm admitting on the air that I have not been to your blog, so I've got to go look.
Don't go if you're hungry, Larry. Don't go before lunch. Her photography is tempting.
Oh, do you do your own?
I do. Yeah, I just use my iPhone. I got an iPhone 3 years ago, and that has been a fun part of my business. I take pictures of the farm, take pictures of the food that I'm cooking. It all kind of came by accident because I, over the winter months, was cooking a lot of stuff with the vegetables I knew my CSA members weren't familiar with, and started taking pictures, started documenting these really good recipes, and then was like, wow, I should be sharing these with people, because who knows what to do with fennel? Who knows what to do with the zucchini overload? And yeah, I have a lot of fun with it.
What do you do with a zucchini overload?
I've made zucchini pizza crust. That is a good one.
You're kidding me.
It's pretty tasty. And then you put more vegetables on top, so you're just eating vegetables on vegetables. I did this summer cobbler that had biscuits on top, so kind of like a pot pie, but had a bunch of zucchini in it. There's some zucchini bread right out there in the studio. Yeah, we've got all kinds of things you can do with zucchini. Zucchini pickles, yeah.
It wasn't planned coincidence that both Thorne and I brought zucchini bread into the studio, but yeah. It's okay.
You got those huge beasts. You got to do something with them.
Well, I make something called zubeefy, which I like a lot. It's one way to get to use, I shouldn't say get rid of, to use a zucchini. And I can't really wait for the newscast so that I can sample your the food that you brought. Well, listen, let me give our listeners a chance to join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. How many women you both are at the minimum equal partners with your husbands in this operation, and you're doing your share for sure. How many women are involved in agriculture here in the state, for example? Do you know, Lisa?
About 11% of Wisconsin farms have women as the primary operator, but then there's also a larger number like us that farm in partnership with spouses and various forms of partnerships. Women, according to the agriculture census, where these numbers come from, make up one of the fastest growing groups of new farmers and are increasing in number. So it's important to be counted. And
yeah,
sometimes farmers
sure.
like us don't fit into agriculture census boxes of, you know, how many thousands of acres of this do you do or hundreds of of corn. So it's important to keep trying to fit into opportunities to be counted.
Well, I tell you what, we'll take a quick look at the news and weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us. And then we will be back with Lisa and Lauren. You stay with us. There's lots of good stuff to come. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about writing and blogging about food, and we're talking about farming with our two guests today joining me in the studio, Lisa Kivrist and Lauren Rudersdorf. Lisa's been with us before to talk about Soil Sisters Weekend, which we want to talk with her about, too. She leads the Women Farmer Training Program for MOSES, the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, writes for a number of publications, runs In Serendipity Farm and B&B outside Monroe with her husband. Lauren owns and operates Raleigh's Hillside Farm outside of Evansville with her husband, Kyle. And she shares stories and recipes on her blog. It's called The Leek and the Carrot. Writes for Edible Madison, Madison Magazine. Are you interested in writing about food or starting a blog? I guess we could get off into that as well. We can talk about women and farming for sure and food with our two guests. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And you know what? Let's just go to Chuck. He's been waiting a while. Chuck in Twin Bridges, it is your turn. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for having me, Larry. I'm just a general question. I'm growing vegetables for sale. I have a little vegetable stand here. And I'm having a hard time keeping enough nitrogen in the soil. We have real sandy soil. And I'm just wondering, I'm thinking about using more organic fertilizers. Is alfalfa meal and alfalfa more productive in terms of giving nitrogen during the season? And if you mulch with it, does the mycorrhiza help the roots and everything and feed enough nitrogen in? Either of the guests, if they just want to respond to that, I'm just curious.
Sure thing. Lauren, do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, so my husband is the soil scientist of our operation. He's got a degree from Madison. So he does more of the fertility management on our farm. But the things that have worked really well for us is kind of a combination deal, which I think if you're an organic vegetable grower, that's kind of standard. We use some compost to just get the soil tilth a little bit better. We use composted chicken manure a lot for just straight nitrogen and fertility. But we also, we do a really good rotation of cover crops and fallowing our fields. That's really important. And having a good crop rotation where, you're following peas and beans with something that needs a little more nitrogen. You're not really doing anything after tomatoes and peppers because they took so much nitrogen out of the soil. We actually have some research happening on our farm this year with carrot crop, studying the mycorrhiza in our soil. And that's something on our mind, but new to us as well, that we're trying to learn a little bit more about. So those are kind of my starter tips, but you should definitely talk to my husband, Kyle, about some more. The alfalfa meal, those things, he knows all about that stuff.
And Lisa, anything to add?
I just want to say, Chuck, you're asking all the right questions, and you're doing the right thing by understanding your soil and nurturing it along and knowing what it's lacking or what it has in abundance. And it's always changing. It's a natural organism there, but you're on the right track by bonding with it as you are and giving it what it needs.
Okay.
And on a sandy soil like that, over time, it's going to take you some time to build the soil up. But you keep at it, you're going to be just fine. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Jackie in Hillsboro up next. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little bit of a different woman in agriculture. I work on my family's 800-cow dairy farm in southwest Wisconsin, and it's my dad and my brother and my sister and I, but we also have a lot of girl power here. We have probably 50% of our workforce is female, and it's very awesome to be a woman involved in agriculture right now because we are a force to be reckoned with and people are listening to our ideas and you see more women doing more things that were predominantly male in the past. And also I write my own column in a dairy newspaper, so I get to write about all the random things that happen on our farm and whatever else comes to mind.
Oh, that is so cool. Lisa, comment.
Oh, that's fabulous. Thanks, Jack. Because it's interesting when you talk about, this new movement of women farmers. It's it's the oldest thing, right? That we have been growing food, we've been raising animals, we've been feeding our family, our communities. So, but now with particularly today's social media platforms that Lauren does really well, and like you're doing, Jackie, we have a real strong urge to share these stories. And that's what's become so much more prolific and so much easier in today's world, is to do that. So the more women farmers like you, Jackie, can talk about the day-to-day and talk about what it's like, especially in such a family situation like you have, that's what's going to inspire the next generation after us and keep this all going. Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for calling, Jackie. Now, this kind of reminds me, I wondered if she was going to be part of this weekend of activities that, probably not, or she maybe not, but you've got a conference.
It's the Soil Sisters Weekend. Yes, it's more than a conference. It's a Women Farmer Palooza. Now, this is the sixth year we've been doing this, and it's primarily in southern Wisconsin in our Green County area. And we're proud to say we're now the largest women farmer-led event in the country. So it's the whole weekend, and there's a variety of things. So it's not a formal conference. People can pick and choose, but there's a lot of on-farm workshops. You can go and learn about food blogging and photography with Lauren, or come to our place and paint a barn board, or learn how to start your own food business. There's farm tours on Sunday. This is all next weekend, August 4th through 6th. So there's a variety of culinary events and ways to sample. So people can pick and choose, but it all celebrates this idea that more women are running farm businesses, are growing food in a way to really get up close and personal and ask questions and taste and sample and support.
So it's the Soil Sisters Weekend, and you've got a website for that?
Yep, soilsisterswi.org. We are a project of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and we have over 20 women involved specifically next weekend. So the weather's looking great. Come on down, particularly the tour of farms on Sunday, August 6th. It's open from 11 to 6. You can come see Lauren and then come down our way at In Serendipity and visit a bunch of farms in between. So set your own schedule.
Let's go to Rachel in Waupaca County next. Rachel, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I am listening from the tractor, which I do all the time, and this show is of particular interest and seemed like a pretty fitting time to call in.
For sure.
But they just mentioned the Wisconsin Farmers Union, so I was going to kind of give a shout-out to them. For me, I went to the university and had a lot of really strong female mentors in the university, including Erin Silva, who works with some cover crops and small grains. And then I decided to abandon Madison and move up. I had the opportunity to move up to my family farm, and we do grass-fed beef. But I was able to attend a Women Came to the Land event on Monday, and it just seemed a plethora of women from various backgrounds and I don't know. My FSA loan officer was there. My NRCS person was there. All women that have really reached out and supported each other.
You nailed it, Rachel. That's a real important tenet of the women, particularly the Women in Sustainable Ag movement, of that support. And studies have been done even on women farmers. There's one done on women farmers in Wisconsin and asked us where we go to for information. And hands down, we go to each other. And that's what I find really inspiring in our women farmer training, is the cross-pollination between generations. In our local group of women farmers in our Soil Sister Tour, so Linda Derrickson runs Bluffwood Landing in Monticello. She just turned 70. She's a spry senior farmer, been doing this forever, and has a wealth of experience. And Lauren got her on Instagram a couple weeks ago, and she's going to town with this, and she's sharing pictures of her animals and her fiber, and she calls herself the Instagramma. But I love that example, because that really shares the spirit that we women work under, in that we all have something to learn and we all have something to share and to come on that table. So the training we do for Moses, we run these In Her Boots workshops. We have one actually next Friday to kick off the Soil Sisters tour on August 4th at Circle M Farm in Blanchardville. But it's very much based on that model of a circle and a sharing, and there's no question too dumb or too personal to ask. And we realize that by doing that, we all succeed.
Well, and then the other component is even the emotional support, too, is really good with my other women farmers, where it's just like it's hard to juggle kids and farm and family and everything. And there's those really hard days. And just even if it's not about farming, just kind of, you know, just knowing people are in the other, you know, doing the same kind of thing and have the same, because other offices, you have coworkers that have those shared experiences that you can kind of talk across the desk to. So to, you know, kind of have that still in kind of that non-traditional work field, or I don't know if that's, we've kind of discussed in our group at length about how it's really made our lives more enriched.
Yeah. One of my best friends in the world, Beth Wright of Winterfell Acres, she's part of the Soil Sisters tour as well. We both started our farms the same year, 1 year apart actually. We got married the same year. We were bridesmaids in each other's wedding, and I would be nowhere without her. I would have probably quit farming 2 years ago if it wasn't for her. Because she, yeah, I can just send her a text. I can show her a picture of this disease issue I'm having or this bug that I've never seen before, and emotional support, all of it. It's, I'm with you. Yep. I would be nowhere without my women friends.
I just wanted to give a shout out and thank all the mentors and all of those that are kind of paving the way and making life nice and good and letting us farm too. I don't know. But I got to get back to cutting my oats too.
You do that, girl.
Thanks, Rachel. Thank you very much for calling. Oh, boy. Orville in Madison, your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Do you know your favorite polymath?
I'm sorry, what did you... I didn't hear you. I missed you. Sorry.
Do you know that you're Madison's favorite polymath?
Well, I tell you what, I'm always honored to be favorite of anything, just about it.
Okay, live forever. My question to the guest is... Are you supporting, doing anything to support the minority women farmers, like the Hmong farmers, who I see at the farmers market every Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a few African-American women farmers who seem to be struggling a lot. Do you have any of those people in your association, or can you do anything to support them?
All right, good comment. Women of color in farming in Wisconsin.
Oh, sure, you bet. And that's where, too, I think women with a natural nurturing instinct bring more people to the table, bring more people in the field, and are inclusive in that approach. So, yeah, by all means. And women actually, in general, qualify or are classified, shall we say, under the USDA as a socially disadvantaged farming group, or sometimes it's called historically underserved for various reasons I could go on and on about. But so there are specific programs, and women are often prioritized in funding situations, particularly, for example, with the Farm Service Agency, FSA. So if a woman is looking for a farm loan to purchase a loan or needs a loan for capital access, there are opportunities to get your application going and to tap into various funding pools for that. So by all means, yes. And what's important, too, is building the urban-rural connections amongst women. So that's where any opportunities to get people out on farms and to build those connections is yeah, you bet. There's some just great stories around the country of women not only farming but taking the leadership aspect to be more inclusive in our agriculture. So a little across the border up in Minnesota, Paku Hong started the Hmong American Farmers Association that is specifically works on these issues for Hmong farmers and ways to just help and build land access and training and anything that's needed. So it's important for us to identify needs and step to that organizing table when needed.
Thank you very much for that call. Lisa, I just lost a call, unfortunately, who had a question relating to what I'm going to bring up now. You had some national exposure recently. You're one of three women who challenged the law banning home bakers from legally selling their baked goods.
Yeah, so...
And yesterday there was another twist to it, and I'm sure that's what our caller wondered about.
Okay, sure. So, well, real quick, cottage food law, every state has specific variations on this, but it allows people, particularly farmers, to create products in their home kitchen, non-hazardous products for public sale. Folks might be familiar with the pickle bill in Wisconsin that allows high-acid foods. We do pickles and sauerkraut ourselves. But We are the most restrictive law in the country because we don't allow baked goods, as other states do, and it's a missed opportunity. I have a bed and breakfast. I can legally serve you muffins, but I can't sell them. So that's that in a nutshell, and that's what prompted John and I to write the Homemade for Sale book, because people don't know about these opportunities. So we have been trying to get what people call the cookie bill, passed now for almost 4 years, passed the Senate unanimously multiple times, and has yet to get on the agenda in the House for a vote via Speaker Voss. So three female farmer friends of mine, soil sisters down by me, Della Enns and Chris Marion, sued the state last year on behalf of this ban on homemade baked goods. And on May 31st, Judge Jorgensen in Lafayette County ruled the ban unconstitutional, ruled in our favor. And as of yesterday, the net is that ruling is being interpreted by him as only applying to the three plaintiffs. So we can bake. I took high school civics a long time ago, but I do remember that the general idea of something is unconstitutional for one person, it's unconstitutional for everybody in our state. So we're still fighting, bottom line. Stay tuned. And, we're looking at the tactic, actually, of adding the Wisconsin Farmers Union as a plaintiff to this lawsuit, which can still be done, in which case, join the Farmers Union and you can bake, too. So stay tuned. But what am I learning, Larry? Patience in policy change and democracy takes time. But we will keep showing up with our cookies and fighting, because this is not... Wisconsin, as I interpret it, of supporting small businesses and being proactive in helping and not shutting things down.
Very good explanation of that at a very short period.
I can go on, yes.
Thank you. Ann in Sun Prairie, let's turn to you. What's on your mind?
Well, here we are in Star Prairie, and I just want to, I've heard two programs now on dairy and women, and no one has mentioned the magnificent, wonderful article in the Wisconsin Magazine of History for summer of 2017 of the wonderful person of Ada F. Howie, America's outstanding woman farmer, who in about 1923 or 1925 was actually served on the Wisconsin State Board of Agriculture and had been recognized universally as the most successful woman farmer in America.
Wow.
And she's probably one of the first that came out with the contented cows. I remember we were talking, I can't remember whether it's your program or Central Time, but they were talking about that, how important that was. She really brought that. She talks about your barn should be as clean as your kitchen. The cows should be petted and brushed. And she boosted her butter production from the average in those days, about 1902, was maybe 3 pounds. She did it five times that much.
Ada Howie.
Just has a wonder. This is an article by Nancy C. Unger in the Wisconsin Historical Society magazine.
Well, I bet you Lisa and Lauren are probably going to be looking that one up, or maybe already knew about it.
Well, there is such a rich history. Thanks for bringing that up, Anne, because we come from deep, strong roots, and we need to learn from those and honor those, because I have never met a woman farmer who isn't first in line to say, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for so-and-so. And down in our farmhood by us, Della Enns runs Scotch Hill Farm in Broadhead. She's been doing this 25 years. And trust me, when she started, it was just not as cool. And there weren't as many people talking about it. And those are the true pioneers who kept it going, who weren't shut down by comments and feedback or pressure or anything like that. It's because of women like Della that Lauren and I are here today, and we thank you for that.
I want to go back to the Soil Sisters weekend, just to plug that another time. So tell us again the background on it.
So we started this event, which is a whole weekend long, next weekend, August 4th through 6th, to open our barn doors and invite folks over. So all the things we're talking about, to come and see them and learn and meet. And we're all about getting people, getting kids on the farm. So it runs Friday through Sunday. There are a variety of what we call Green Acres workshops, which are on-farm workshops. Those do require pre-registration and are selling out, especially some of the ones Lauren's doing, like a on-farm cocktail making class, and she's teaching pesto making, and again, the one on starting a food blog and photography. So there's those. There's culinary events. There's a Taste of Place kickoff at Cowan Quince on Friday, and then an on-farm, farm-to-table dinner at Dorothy's Range in Blanchardville. You can taste April's heritage hogs, or you could come have some pizza at a fundraiser at In Serendipity. So on Sunday, August 6th, that's the tour of farms. So that's really a great day, especially if you're in the general area, to come make a day trip. There's 7 women-owned farms on the tour. We'll be open 11 till 6. Check out the website, soilsisterswi.org. You can find maps and information. And I think Lauren's mom's even running a lunch stand at her farm. So, I mean, this is homespun rural female hospitality at its finest. So we look forward to seeing everybody.
Oh, this coming weekend, right? No.
Next weekend.
No, two weekends away.
Mm-hmm. Well, a week away.
And yeah, it's about a week away.
It's far enough that I could see the weather forecast, and it's looking beautiful. So August 4th through 6th.
And again, the website for that?
SoilSistersWI.org. We are a project of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
And Lauren, what about your blog? What's your blog is about food.
It's about food, farming. It's kind of going back to what that woman from Hillsboro was saying. I love being from a farm, love being from a farm family, love farming with my husband, all those collaborative things. So I write a lot about that on my blog, kind of just telling the stories from the fields, the things that are easy, the things that are hard, the things we want to celebrate, and then there's always some recipes. There's always something that I'm cooking with the seasonal bounty that we've got. It really started as a project for those CSA members where, you know, I know how to, I could get a CSA box and cook it all up in 2 days, but I know that's not the norm for a lot of people. I know a lot of people find cooking with an abundance of vegetables difficult. So that's the focus of my blog. There's a lot of vegetable recipes on there.
The leek and the carrot. And yeah. We have, I think now we'll, yes, Jill has got links to both of your sites. So I want to thank you both so much for being with us today. It was really a lot of fun. Good luck with the Soil Sisters weekend.
Hey, thanks, Larry.
Lisa Kivrist and Lauren Rudersdorf, our guests today to talk about women and farming. And wasn't that fun? I had a great time. I hope I'm sure you did as well. And just to let you know, Garden Talk will talk plant diseases with Dr. Death, Brian Huddleston. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us.